Hello.
Hello.
And welcome back to Only Stupid Answers, the best damn podcast you can put your moist little ears into. You're joined today by the main two boys who run the whole circus here. Sorry, I didn't mean to cough into your headset.
You were killing it.
DJ Woldridge, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm good. You know what? It's a good day.
It is a good day. Yeah. And we just had a very fun trip that we want to talk about a little bit. We went to Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle, Washington. The magical land of Seattle, Washington. And the person talking over here, thank
it's
you for
Sam
introducing
Sam Basher.
It's Sam. Sam,
listen,
how you doing?
I don't do the introductions over here.
Sam, how you doing? Oh, good. You know, he's being a little weirdo over there. Yeah. Just let him be. Hey, do you remember we used to do these in front of a live studio audience? Have you checked on them recently?
No.
It's been like a year.
They're still here.
They're still here.
But they're not. They're being suspiciously quiet.
I can hear the chains rattling, and I think they're breathing. I just kind of dimmed the lights over.
Maybe they're hibernating.
We should call somebody. They just came with the building when we got the studio. I don't even know what to do about them.
If you're just joining us, welcome to the Best Damn. Did you already do the Best Damn podcast? Okay, well, welcome to it.
This is where we talk about movies,
yes,
TV shows,
yes,
comic books,
yes,
any kind of pop culture-y thing. Specifically, though, big feet, big foots.
Big foots.
That's plural. Sasquanches.
Big feet.
Skunk apes.
Yeah. So if you want to know more about this podcast, you can go to onlystupidanswers.com. That has all our social media, that has our YouTube videos, that has this episode that you're listening to,
has events,
right now
has merch. We have merch. God,
we have
dang
merch
it.
And it's over on Teespring, but there is a link on the Only Stupid Answers website that you can get right there.
Mm-hmm. And our Patreon's got even more shows. We do more than one show, boys and girls. If you like any of the superhero shows, like the CW shows or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., every Friday 2 p.m. we go live and we talk about it on Super TV Showdown. We have a wonderful co-host, Roxy Dryer, and
yes,
you can watch live, or you can just listen to an audio version of the podcast for $5 or $15. You can get the video and watch live. It's amazing.
And speaking of patreon.com/onlystupidanswers, we would like to read your comments off of, we like to post these episodes there and as well, and you guys can comment on it there, and we like to read those comments. We have one here by a gentleman by the name of Ryan Finstad. I love Sam's idea. This was towards the episode where we were kind of talking about like alternate DCUs.
If we restarted the DC movies, how would we like it to start? And I like this comment a lot.
Ryan said, I love Sam's idea of Flash going about time to put the Justice League together, and I had one thought to expand on it. You have Reverse Flash be there from the beginning as well, and you have Reverse Flash snatching up villains from the other movies to set up an Injustice League, and the DCU is set up around having the JL1 and JL2 movie being the culmination of Flash's team versus Reverse Flash's team.
Ooh, and the first person he grabs is Lex Luthor, and then you have Lex Luthor and Reverse Flash grabbing people throughout
time.
That's
actually kind of terrifying if you think about it.
Yup. Yup, and that's a really good comment. And also, we have if you guys don't know, you can listen to this on a multitude of platforms: iTunes, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher.
Yeah.
But also, we love when you guys do 5-star reviews on iTunes because we can read your reviews live during the show. We have one here from Nat Cat Latata. However, first time listening to podcasts and really loving this one. Well, thank you so much. She writes, or he, them, I just started listening this weekend and really enjoying it. I have been a fan of the two since the SourceFed days and saw both of them at ECCC this weekend, this Emerald City Comic Con. It was very nice meeting you, Sam, and I saw DJ while working at the convention, and he was heading into the panels I was working at, but didn't say hi because I couldn't remember his name. I'm sorry, DJ. But nonetheless, I really enjoyed this podcast as it is the first podcast I've ever invested myself in. Keep it up, boys.
I forgive you.
It was also, okay, let's talk about, because we're going to talk about Wrinkle in Time today. We're going to be maybe to touch on Annihilation. Some new movies, because we'd like to talk about movies. But just kick it off, let's talk about Emerald City Comic Con.
Before we jump into that, let's stop in and say hi to one of our friends real quick.
There's a friend here. Now, guys, we have a new sponsor today. It's 4hymns.com. And now, actually, this is a health service for the men in our audience. So, guys, I want you to listen up, and I want you to listen good.
Because, and ladies out there, you maybe listen to your significant other or family members or something like that. This could apply to them as well.
Because a lot of the time, when boys are growing up, when guys, we're not really told to really take care of ourselves that well. You know, it's kind of like you do a physical once a year at best.
Yes.
But when you're hurt, you kind of try to self-medicate. You try to figure it out yourself. And sometimes there's stuff that you can't do that for. And yes. And going to the doctor for men sometimes can be, let's say, embarrassing, because sometimes you kind of feel like, I have this problem. I don't know who to talk to. Like hair loss or skincare or maybe sexual wellness. 4Hims is there for you and they can help you out.
And also, you know, with stuff like that, sometimes we think that's a problem for older people, but 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. So it's something that you might already be dealing with, and 4Hims.com might be the solution.
No, and hair loss starts early, guys. And like sometimes you might be noticing it and you just like don't want to say anything because you might feel embarrassed, and that is okay. And
yes,
that's the point of this sponsorship right now, because we wanted to make sure that the people in our audience are taking care of themselves and staying healthy, and 4Hims is there for you because Hims is able to connect you with real doctors and medical grade solutions to treat hair loss, guys. If you're feeling a little breezy up top, you could talk to somebody and actually get ahead of the problem.
Yep.
Because with 4Hims and with you talking to real doctors, you're able to get generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions that can help you keep your hair. And there's no waiting rooms. There's no you're not going to have an awkward doctor's visit. And you could find the answers, and it's just so easy.
And products ship directly to your door. So if that sounds interesting to you, that sounds like something you can use, you can order now. Our listeners can get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy.
So go to 4Hims.com/stupid. That's forhims.com/stupid. And one more time, just so you guys know, don't feel embarrassed or ashamed in any way if you're having hair loss. 4Hims can help you out and help you get ahead of the problem. That's
4Hims.com/stupid.
Go check in with friends. But yes, we went to Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle, Washington.
Yeah,
we were
there. It's my first time going to Seattle.
See?
Yeah.
I didn't know what we were seeing.
See?
But we did a bunch of stuff. As soon as we landed, we dropped our shit off at our Airbnb and immediately went to Outsider Comics and Geek Boutique.
Yeah.
Who are wonderful people.
They were lovely.
They hosted a signing for DJ's comic. And
yeah.
They read his own comics.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was great meeting you guys, giving out, selling some copies of my comic. If you want to see, we took some pictures there. You can. It's on Instagram at Only Stupid Answers. It was really cool. I really loved doing the signings.
Everyone was so cool. There was a person who came from Montana, which is
nuts.
Not as far as I thought from Washington. It's just California brain. Montana seems like it is Canada. It's
yeah.
South Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was amazing that he drove out. He was going to the con, but he came out early to meet us. And everybody else who came from like Portland or the surrounding area, it was very cool to meet you. You guys gave us some great suggestions for places to go eat and check out while we were in Seattle. And also everyone we met on the floor who listened to the podcast or knew us from SourceFed, or weirdly, it just doesn't really click in my head because it's a freelance job I do. But a lot of people watch some of the stuff I do at New Rockstars. And that was very cool meeting you guys and talking with you. And a lot of you guys had some cool cosplay. And we actually are filming, we're done with it, but we filmed an adventure vlog.
Yep.
With a lot of the cosplayers and a lot of the people we met at the event, and we're putting it together into an awesome video that will be on our YouTube channel very soon. So
yeah,
that's
I'm very,
very
excited
cool.
about that. That was a lot of fun. It was cool to go to a convention that I wasn't working at.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. And I got to meet a lot of creators that I admire.
Who's your favorite?
Of the creators I met.
Oh, who's the one you were like a little bit most excited to meet?
I got to meet and talk with Tim Sale a little bit, and he's done stuff like Batman Long Halloween and Superman for All Seasons, which might be one of my favorite Superman stories.
Spider-Man Blue.
Yeah.
That's a very big one.
He does a lot of work with Jeff Loeb. So that was really cool. But just a lot of cool, talented artists. I got to go to some panels with some really creative, amazing people. And then seeing Seattle was really cool. It's very cold and rainy.
Yes. I had whipped out my one big jacket, and
yes,
I wore that the entire time we were there. And I did go to Portland after, and that was a blast. But by then I was a local, basically. I could handle the cold. What was it like? 52?
Yeah.
49? Nothing for me. That was easy. As soon as I came back, though, I became a baby. It rained today, and I couldn't handle it. But it was a blast. Like, I loved... we went to Pike's Place, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And we got to see... I saw them throwing the fish.
Mm-hmm.
And we had tried some coffee, which was really cool. And I got to meet Doc Shanner at the convention, which was amazing.
Yes.
And he knew me. And I was like, why, what do you know? Well, you know me. I know you. You're not supposed to. It's not supposed to go this way.
He's so talented.
And I talked to Mitch Gerards, who did
Mr. Miracle and Sheriff of Babylon. A lot of Tom King books.
Little Batman sometimes.
Yeah,
he's very, very talented. I got some commission work. Someone did a drawing of my dog Dwight.
Yeah,
they did. It was like $20. They did it in 5 minutes, and it's so cool.
Yeah,
and I'm so glad. It's the coolest part of the convention for me was just walking around Artist Alley. Like, we did the main floor.
Yeah.
But I just kept wanting to go back to Artist Alley because even if you looked at some of the art, you would just come back around again and you could like talk with the artist and buy something. It was just so cool. It was such a great experience. So hopefully we get to do more of those this year. We can go meet more of you. If you got a con that you're very excited about going to, let us know. Maybe we can figure out something.
We're excited to try and do more conventions, more meet and greets and stuff like that. Speaking of comic book stuff, if you go to chaostheorycomic.com, this episode drops on Monday, right? So Monday afternoon, I'm going to be dropping a new look at my comic book, Chaos Theory, that's exclusive to, or at least early access to, the people on that newsletter. So don't miss out on that. ChaosTheoryComic.com. You can sign up to the newsletter, and things are going to be ramping up soon.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I've heard some of the whispers.
Yeah, so things are going to start ramping up really soon. So stay tuned for all of that. This one's a bigger and bolder, and so I'm hoping you guys are excited for it because I'm excited to share it with you.
And follow me on Twitter, and I'll leak everything.
No.
I'll be the deep throat. That's a thing I learned this week. Uh-huh.
Hey, Sam learned how to deep throw.
There you go. Yeah. Also, guys, weird transition from there, but we're actually going to try out a new segment at the end of the show.
Hey!
I'm just going to tease a little bit. Here's the title of it. Just the tips.
Yep.
That's why I thought of that. And it's very fun. It's not what you think, so make sure you stay
unless
for the end of the
episode. Unless it is what you think.
Maybe.
We don't know what you're thinking.
Could be. Yeah. But make sure you stay for the end of the episode for that. But let's talk about what we're into this week.
Yes.
We've been off for a week. We posted a canned episode that we had over the weekend. Yeah. So what is DJ Wooldridge, the tallest man in this room?
Mm-hmm.
What is he into accuracy this week?
Yeah. Voltron. I've just watched when we were at Nerd City.
They announced it. It was cool.
They announced season 5. And the seasons are so short now because they've broken up their seasons into six to seven episode chunks.
I don't know if I like that.
Things move so quickly. Instead of it feeling like they broke seasons in half, which is my understanding of the situation, it feels like they just crammed a whole season's worth of plot into half the episodes.
Mm.
This season might be... It's definitely my favorite since the new format. It might be my favorite season.
But what about the mall episode?
They have a bit that is... It feels like a spiritual sequel to the mall episode.
Cool.
That is amazing. It's my favorite joke. For some reason, I feel like the action is always amazing, but the action in these episodes is incredible. But the humor in these episodes, I think, is some of the best they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a running gag in one of the episodes that reminded me a lot of the mall episode, and it is hilarious. It is great. But this episode focuses a lot on Lotor, which I thought was good because we introduced him in season 3, but I haven't really cracked him yet.
Mm-hmm.
The season dives more into him. We start there are a lot of big payoffs, a lot of more movement on Pidge trying to find her dad, a lot more movement on figuring out what's going on with Shiro.
It's a big mystery.
Yeah, so we get a little bit more into that. And
are you done with it? Did you?
Yeah, I finished the whole new season. Well, because it's only 6 episodes, like
they're barely 20 minutes.
Yeah, so I got to episode 4 yesterday. I'm like, well, I might as well just wrap it up. You know what I mean? I might as well just figure it out. I knew I was going to talk about it today, so I might as well see it all. But a lot more with Lotor, a lot more diving into Allura, which is cool. Digging into Lance a little bit more, which is rad.
Also, they need to kind of expand his character a little bit.
This season really shakes up the show. Remember at the end of season 2, we were like, oh, what happens now? There's a big moment this season, fairly early on in the season, where it's like, oh, what do we do? Yeah, what now? What's going to happen now? You know what I mean? So that's really rad. My only nitpicks, Keith gets sidelined a little bit, and he's my favorite. Mm. So he gets a big moment, but we don't focus on him as much, which is fine because they focus on him a lot in the last few seasons.
Yeah, he gets a lot. He's a star.
Yeah, and then... the last episode is titled White Lion, and it did not mean what I thought it meant.
Spoilers.
So I was a little bummed. I thought they were going to introduce a new Voltron line, and they don't. Yeah, so don't get your hopes up.
It turns into a nice shirt that Voltron puts on.
Yeah.
Well, that does sound cool. I watched the first episode this morning before I came over to record, because it's so short, and it was over quicker than I anticipated. Yeah. It was still good. And like, I'm excited to watch the rest of it. We just got to work our way through Jessica Jones, which we're going to be doing. Yeah. If you're listening to this on Monday, we did a live stream over the weekend and you missed it.
And next episode, we're going to be breaking down the whole season.
Yes. Yeah. And that'll be a blast. I wanted to talk about Annihilation in a second because I didn't have a chance to see it. I know saw it.
Yep.
But I did want to talk about a comic that it's more adult, but if you guys are looking for something comedic to read, I wanted to talk about Sex Criminals. It's written by Matt Fraction, and it's the art's by Chip Zdarsky. He's writing Marvel 2-in-1 right now, and he's doing a really good job. I like his writing style. But the premise is, I'm going to be a little crass, but mm-hmm. basically it stars a woman that whenever she orgasms, time stops for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And for a while, she doesn't know what this means because it's a really cool look at how sex is talked about in like modern day. Like, even it's still like kind of archaic the way we talk about things and like how it's taboo.
Yeah.
And there's a very fun comedic take that's not totally sexual humor, even though there is a lot. It's very funny. Like,
yeah.
But she ends up meeting somebody, a guy who can also do the same thing as her, that whenever he orgasms, time stops, and they can like interact with each other in this like space that doesn't, that where time is frozen. And it's really interesting, and it's a good palate cleanser when you need, like, when you read so many, like, I mean, like me, I read too many comics sometimes. Yeah. But it's like, it's a good like refresher where it's like, this medium can do a lot more. And yep. And if you guys like dirty humor like that, like, I've talked about My Dad Wrote a Porno before, this is like a comic version of that.
Yeah.
One of my favorite jokes is both of them freeze time and they go into an adult store and they start throwing stuff at each other as like a joke, and they start throwing parody movies, DVDs of popular movies, but as pornos.
Yeah.
And oh my god, they were so, the jokes are so funny, the best. I don't know, I don't even want to spoil it. Go read it, because it's. I'll tell you after.
Okay.
We already have that mature rating on our podcast. I'm like, I don't need to validate that.
Yeah, exactly.
By saying what it is. But remind me later. It's a very good joke. And if that's not a good sell, go check it out. Matt Fraction also wrote the best Hawkeye comic, period. Like, yeah. I haven't read the most recent one where it's Kate Bishop, and I've heard that's gotten a lot of praise, but his is Kate and Clint working together, and it's so good.
Yeah.
It's such
Matt
a good
Fraction's
story.
A pro, man. He's really talented.
He's the funniest, and I love the way it's the subtle humor that really gets like he nails. Like in the Hawkeye run, everyone keeps calling him Hawk Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Hot Guy, Hawk Guy. And yeah. It's like, he's like, no, it's Hawkeye. It's like this little joke that's always running. And the way he writes characters in the Hawkeye book, like when they're gangsters, they always say bro after every word. And at first it's annoying, but you realize it's not that they're saying bro, it's that that's what they sound like. It's mm-hmm. that they're talking that way, which is amazing. Anyways, that's what I wanted to talk about for as a recommendation. But let's talk about Annihilation. It's Natalie Portman. We did a review for this on our YouTube channel, and you took it. You took the reins.
YouTube.com/onlystupidanswers.
And you can go check that out and write your thoughts in the movie. But I finally saw it, and because it's been crazy busy with everything.
And now you
want
to get included in the conversation about
just a little
it.
Bit.
I see how it
Before
is.
Before we get into Wrinkle in Time, we don't have to get into too much spoilers, maybe a little bit, just to kind of speculate. It's been out for a few weeks now. I think it's worth talking about.
Yeah.
How would you briefly describe this movie to somebody?
Oh, geez. So Natalie Portman plays a soldier turned scientist whose husband was on a secret mission and comes back a little messed up in the head. And so when she tries to figure out what's going on with him, she finds out that there's a section of the Florida coast that has been roped off because of some sort of like weird alien event that's affecting the surrounding area called the Shimmer. And so she goes in with a team of other women scientists to figure out what's happening, even though no other teams have come back. And so it's them finding
no
out.
Other tech, any kind of exploratory thing has never come back.
The only
it.
Thing that's come back is her husband, and he doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
So that's why she goes in, and things are a little messed up in there.
Mm-hmm. I got to see it, and it's got a high rating on Rotten Tomatoes, like 87%.
Good. That seems
like
about right.
But I think maybe audiences might be having more trouble with it.
Yeah.
And there was some controversy before it came out because the main character, I believe, is of Asian descent.
Well,
in the book.
They don't reveal that until book two. I read into that. They don't reveal that till book two. And he'd already started production on the movie when book two came out. And in book one, they don't mention the character's ethnicity.
And they've Natalie Portman and the director have come forward, and they're like, we're sorry, but like, the train had already left the station. Like, it was already going. So it's like, it's a bummer, but...
And also, Natalie Portman's great in it. Like, I totally get that complaint, but she's really good in the role.
And I forgot, after watching, like, the Thor movies and when she's in there, I'm like, she... You know, you've praised her in those, that she's, like, the best one there.
Yes.
But she is not... It's not giving her best all. Work. It's not her best work, and I just forget sometimes of how good she is, especially her with Oscar eyes. Like, they have such a genuine chemistry that I really like watching that on screen. And her, the way she interacts with the rest of her cast, like Tessa Thompson, Gina Rodriguez, like there's some really talented people in this, and the movie deserves a lot of praise from the acting standpoint, that direction, the visuals of the movie are really beautiful, but it's very sci-fi heavy.
Yeah, it occupies an interesting space, because I know a lot of like the film nerds I follow are like, oh, he's just straight up ripping off Tarkovsky, who did stuff like Solaris and Stalker, and apparently tonally. Well, yeah, most general audiences don't, and then general audience are like, oh, it's too confusing. So it's like, so it occupies this weird space of like, it's not film nerdy enough for the film nerds, but it's not basic enough for like general audiences.
Yeah, and I know Paramount, before it came out, there was a thing that leaked that said that they were worried that people would be too dumb to understand it. I'm paraphrasing, but it was that they were worried that people weren't going to get it. And
you can tell, because there's definitely scenes that studio notes where they're like, hey, have a scene explaining what just happened,
mm-hmm.
so that people know what just happened.
Except for there are scenes when they don't. And like, and I'm proud of them for doing that. And also, regardless of my heated opinions on Mother, whatever, Paramount's taking these really cool, risky movies and producing them, and opinions still have this does not change my opinion on Mother, that I don't enjoy it, and I don't think it's a good film. It's awesome that they took a risk like that. I think that's a very bold thing, and this is Annihilation's a big risk, and it's a very heady movie, and it gets people talking, and that's why I want to bring it up, because it is, I was kind of worried about it. I thought it was going to be shoot for the stars, and you actually pancake on a billboard, like you don't make it anywhere, you don't even leave, but like it does, like it's very cool. It makes me want to read it, and I know that the book is going to be
super different.
Which it's a bummer, and also cool that they were able to do that. But there's this really middle of the road like storyline there, where whatever's happening in the Shimmer is both terrifying and beautiful at the same time, and that nature is that. Nature is this scary unknown, that where you can appreciate it from afar, but when you get up close, it might be ugly. Like and also there might be some like connections to the way we look at cancer, or the way cancer, like the
I didn't quite know. They touch on cancer a couple times in the movie, and I wasn't maybe if I'd seen it a second time, I would have been able to put those pieces together. I wasn't quite sure how that connected to,
well, a lot of what happened is described via the trailer and later in the movie. So I'm gonna be kind of aloof with this description, that the Shimmer can alters the genetics of some things. It can it can create new things or alter them and make them worse. It's like it's basically it's a lottery. You don't know what's going to happen. That is kind of how sometimes cancer works. Like it depends on what it is. And I'm not a doctor, so I'm not an oncologist, so I don't know exactly. But the way the Shimmer was reacting, it seemed like a positive way or a higher level of what cancer does. Of like, basically, if cancer wasn't just a thing inside the being, it took over how the being actually developed and like moved forward. That like the flowers, for example, there's in the movie, you see that one species of flowers blooming in like a multitude of different ways, which flowers don't do. But that's how cancer behaves. And there's actually, if you have seen the movie, I recommend that there's someone who commented. Actually, let me make sure I have his information. Someone commented on your review on the Only Stupid Answers channel, and he has a very fun theory about a specific weapon that is used in the movie, and how that actually relates to cancer treatment, and like what that symbolizes within the movie. It's pretty cool.
Are you gonna read the comment, or
I can. Let me pull it up really.
Let's go into real quick. We're gonna go into spoilers for this movie.
Yeah, we'll do them quick, and we'll get into time.
Give us like 10 minutes, maybe, if you want to skip ahead a little bit. Mm-hmm. So something I really liked about, so what we find out is that the Shimmer refracts everything. It's not just refracting light; it refracts genetics, it refracts all that stuff, and so that's why we get the flowers. We get the gator with the rows of teeth coming in. My favorite one, I think the best reveal they did, because they didn't feel the need to over explain it, was they talk about things mirroring each other, and Benedict Wong, we cut back to into the future where Benedict Wong is interrogating her about what's happened, and she mentions like things reflect or double up or mirror each other, and he's like, what does that mean? And she doesn't really explain, and then we see these two deer that move exactly the same way, mm-hmm. and we're like, oh, that's what she meant,
with like a delay. It's yeah. like they're but they are mirroring each other, which yeah. is really cool.
The things as two of the freakiest things I think I've seen in a movie. And this was a really expertly done reveal, too. We see video that her husband took, Natalie Portman's husband took, played by Oscar Isaac, of what looks like the guy's organs. They cut a guy open. His organs look like they're moving like fish or an eel or something.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. Then later, they go to one of the people figures out where they're at and goes to the pool where he was, and his whole basically entire fungus has grown out of his body.
Yeah, that guy was left there, he died, or something happened and he yeah. exploded into
a fungal mess.
But it was beautiful yeah. but terrifying. And I found the comment.
Okay,
so it's a little lengthy, so let me just work my way through it. This is from Samuel Brenton, adult man, great name. I thought this movie was really interesting. I came out of it trying to figure out what the hidden thread or the overarching point this movie was trying to make. On the one end, the themes of self-destruction are prevalent throughout the whole movie, and the characters mm-hmm. talk about it a lot, and I suppose each character can be read as a different way of attempting to deal with our own self-destructive behavior. On the other end, they're constantly showing us cells mutating and Natalie Portman's character making the comparison to cancer cells. That got me thinking that maybe the whole movie is an analogy for various types of cancer treatments and the uncertainty and fear that goes along with all of that. Incoming spoilers is what he's got to say. The phosphorus grenade is what ends up getting rid of, in parentheses, although not entirely, of the shimmer, and phosphorus is commonly used in cancer treatments. Maybe the whole dance sequence at the end and somewhat ambiguous ending are meant to signify that experiencing trauma, like cancer, is a transformative experience, and you're never quite sure if you're the same person after as you were before. You're not quite sure if you're the same person after as you were before. There's also a good symmetry between cancer cells being part of you that has gone rogue and is hurting you, and the mirror entity being made from a part of Natalie Portman's character. You know, this movie was confusing in a good way and thought-provoking. Also, surface level, just an enthralling ride. 12 out of 14. Now, also thinking about that, there's a lot of symmetry whenever you looked at the cells, whenever one was breaking off and mutating, yeah. showing that something was happening to her, but also that is it was some of the same imagery you saw when she was looking at the cervical cells in the beginning when she's teaching the class yeah. about cancer, cervical cancer.
Also, the other freaky thing that stuck with me after was the damn bear.
The damn bear. The no, goddamn bear. The yeah, bear.
The bear. The, and bear you, the skull-headed bear that screams like a woman.
And you thought it was a little heavy-handed when they had to explain that, like, taking the actual scream from, like, the psychic imprint of a scream at yeah, the we last
knew,
moment.
I don't know about you. Like, I knew what had happened. Because we at that point, we'd already established that things are reflecting and refracting and mixing. And so when they think it's her and then it's the bear, it's like, oh, shit. When it was murdering her, it got her scream. And then literally right after, they're like, you know, when it murdered her, it must have gotten her scream. It's like, yeah, duh.
Actually, there was... a really interesting article. Let me see if I can pull this up really fast, but I think what I had taken from it was that it had learned how to just copy it. I didn't think it had taken it. Yeah. I didn't think that had happened, but I actually appreciated them just bringing the idea up mm-hmm. that it didn't just consume her, it consumed like part of her, and that the cells of both beings are so volatile random yeah. that they merged and made something new. Yeah. And I wanted to pull up this article, but wait, vamp for me.
Oh, yeah. Another interesting thing that happens in the movie is, so what he was referring to in the comment is a piece of Natalie Portman is absorbed by this entity. And I like they established that, like, it wasn't attacking them. It was just creating, and they don't really know what. It was just goofing with biology. There's this sequence that I can only describe as a dance where it's mirroring her and she's trying to escape. And that leads to her destroying it with the phosphorus grenade. And I found that it's interesting because the entity looks like something from like Lawnmower Man. Like, it looks like 90s CG, but it feels really intentional.
But it does look good. It looks like a person in a suit, but it is mirroring her. It's trying to do exactly what she does, and it only attacked her because she attacked it. Like, it was. It's just something she has to live with, which is
and I
terrifying.
Take away. So the other my only real other nitpick is at the end, like, she confronts Oscar Isaac, who she now believes is not her real husband. It's a mirror thing like that was. And she asks him if, like, you're not, she's basically like, you're not my husband, are you? And he's like, I don't think so. And he asks her if she's who she thinks she is, and she doesn't respond. And they hug, and we see the shimmer in his eyes. And then we cut to her, and it's like, it, you see the shimmer in her eyes too. And it just felt like a very, it's like, it's supposed to be a ending, but it's like, yeah, like sci-fi, TV sci-fi movies end this way. Like, come on, man.
But like, I actually like the comment from the adult man that we got. I like the idea that it's that you are changed permanently. Also,
but I think you could have kept that with just her not responding. I think you could have left that a little more ambiguous.
You could have. And like, because you knew he wasn't him. Like, he's, you got that very definitively.
Yeah.
Also, in the book, spoilers for the book, it was it revealed that during, when they're on the river, the book's way different, and the memory loss that they have of the loss of time actually is explained why that, why they don't know what's happening. And it's from, spoilers, from someone in the group doing it to them.
I remember that.
But also, the Oscar Isaac does not die. He gets transformed into something else.
Yeah.
A dolphin, specifically, that has, and it still has his eyes, and that in the middle of the river, like a river dolphin goes by, and Natalie Portman's character sees the dolphin and like knows that it's him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm fine with him blowing himself up. And stuff. Not that there isn't some kind of like beauty to that. It's just like, let's leave it at there. But Alex Garland, the director of the movie, and also the one who adapted it and changed the story.
He also directed Ex Machina, and now there's reports that he's actually the one that directed Dredd.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But he's just a very, very talented director, regardless of your opinion on like the movie's outcome. He does a very good job of like working with his actors and creating a cool world. When they did the CG creation of the bear, this is what I was looking up, they actually merged a human skull and a bear skull.
Oh,
and
cool.
What this is, what he meant to do was, they couldn't scan like a living human skull. They just kind of like did their best with like eyes and whatnot, but like basically her biology, more of her biology, actually merged with the bear than what you think.
Yeah.
And like it actually started to look like her or whatever other people that it's attacked.
Yeah.
It started taking on like attributes of them.
What a nightmare.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he, one of the original ideas he said was like maybe making a giant water bear and like trying to make that scary, but they're like, no, we'll just do a normal bear and we'll just make it terrifying.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah. They did a good job with all that. I think some of those, the creature designs, I thought the flower people were really good. That was a fun reveal.
That was the most, explaining you got for something, but I liked how they talked about it. It was like, not that I thought people had turned into those, it's like, no, the plants got the same setup of turning into those,
which I liked, but then Tessa Thompson turns into one of them.
Did she?
Yeah,
it's ambiguous.
I don't really like the way they utilized Tessa Thompson, mostly because they didn't really. And then I didn't like her. She's like barely there, and then she's like, bye, and she walks away, and it's like she's gone now. I was like, oh, well, okay.
I did like the idea that some people, when you come back to the cancer analogy, some people accept it, go along with it, and some people fight it more than anything. Some people want to understand it, and it's like there are different takes on it. And if you look at it from there, she could have been used more, of course.
Yeah.
But I liked her performance, she did a great job saying the same thing. And Gina Rodriguez did a really good job. But overall, I think this movie deserves multiple rewatches to kind of like break it down even more.
Yeah, I think I'm glad
a
movies
lot of
like this are getting
went into
made.
It.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's really well crafted. I think the acting is really solid. I think the tone and the vibe, I think the music's really good. Like you said, it's just a lot of care and attention to detail went into it, and I like seeing movies like this get made. Before we go any further, let's talk a little bit about our pals at Bombfell. Bombfell is an easier way for men to get better clothes. Sam, I don't like getting nice clothes because going to the store scares me and it's confusing. But with Bombfell, all you have to do is fill out a simple questionnaire and then you are matched one-on-one with a dedicated personal stylist.
What?
They never charge above retail price. They offer free shipping and returns, convenient home try-on, and the ability to preview and edit your stylist picks before the order ships.
Now, we've used Bombfell before. We actually got some pretty cool options. Now, when we used it, we signed up online. We picked out a couple. We said like the kind of styles that we liked, right?
Yes.
We said some of the stuff we were looking for. I was looking for jeans. I was looking for like a nice button up for going out to dinner. I want to impress people. And
exactly.
And they sent me some options. And at first, I was like, I'm feeling this. But then I sent some feedback back to the stylist, and they gave me a new set of options. I was like, ooh. That's perfect.
Yeah.
And they sent them over and we got to try them on.
Yeah, exactly. I got a dope, an amazing shirt that I still love. It's one of my favorite shirts now, and an awesome pair of jeans that it makes me feel styling, makes me feel special. And also, it's important to point out, this is for men specifically. However, Once again, ladies out there, if that for that special someone in your life or a family member, this might be a great gift for them.
No, if you sign up for them and you're like, hey, I'm going to help you out. I'm about to step up your game.
Yeah.
Also, they'll send you the clothes and you have 7 days to tell like to try them on and tell them how you feel about them. Yeah. And you could send them back, which is amazing. And right now they're doing the keep more, get more in each shipment. The more you keep, the more you save. If you keep 4 items, you get 20% off. You keep 3 items more, you get 15% off. You keep 2, you get 10% off.
So if this sounds amazing to you, go to bombfill.com/stupid. We were able to discuss with them and come up with a special deal for our listeners. You get $25 off your first purchase. Whoa. By going to bombfill.com/stupid. That's bombfill.com/stupid.
Bombfill, open and clothes. All right, guys, let's start talking about A Wrinkle in Time, a movie that I was anticipating a lot, and I think a lot of people thought more people would be anticipating, but then it started getting some not-so-great reviews and realizing that a lot of younger audiences that were actually this was aimed for didn't seem very interested in the movie, which is a bummer. Before seeing it, but now we've seen it and we have thoughts.
Yeah, I think isn't Black Panther still dominating the box office?
I think
this
it just passed $1 billion. But like today,
it's still number. Is it still number one this weekend?
Yes. Wow. I want to go see it again.
Yeah.
But hey, that's two Disney movies. So
yeah, Disney's doing fine. There'll be more of them. There'll be more in the future. Now once they own Fox. Yeah, it was interesting. I was not anticipating this movie. The trailers never really grabbed me. I don't remember the book that well. However, when I saw the movie, I enjoyed it for the most part.
Okay, so I keep towing the line because I wanted to like it so much. That's kind of stuck in my head that I wanted to. Because I never read the book. I don't know what it was about. That's why it was so exciting.
You're illiterate.
That's why I read the comics and I just have someone sit next to me and read out the dialogue.
Out loud.
Well, actually, there's an app on Google where you can kind of like just take a picture of the words and you just highlight them and then it reads out loud.
How do you read comics so fast if you do that?
Well, the digital ones, they help. You just click on the word and it talks. Anyways, but no, I've never read the book. So yeah. I was going in excited to learn this new story for the first time, and I think it's beneficial when you go into a movie that's an adaptation from a novel or somewhere else to just go in and try to experience what the creators made behind the movie and not the adaptation, because you're going to be disappointed 9 times out of 10. Like, To Kill a Mockingbird is the only book to movie that I've ever heard people being totally okay with.
Yeah.
Where they encapsulate all the feelings and the thoughts from that book, and every character is portrayed the way they want.
I've heard The Prestige might actually be better than the book. And I like Where the Wild Things Are. Personally, I know
it's a stretch though from what the book is.
Because again, like with Where the Wild Things Are, you know, he took that story and made it personal to himself. And I think that's a good way to do adaptations. That's actually one of the reasons I really like the Evil Dead remake. Mm-hmm. Is they took the basic premise and you can tell the director made it something very personal to him.
Yeah.
And I think that's what that's what makes it feel new and fresh. This is a tangent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What we're talking about. But I'm saying is that I don't think going and reading a book before the adaptation comes out is going to make you enjoy the movie more. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to actually ruin the book and the movie for you. So at least it's always has for me, like A Series of Unfortunate Events. The movie was like, this was a disappointment. Or I'm sure Harry Potter fans are disappointed. Whatever. So I went in this pretty blind and I did not really have a great time. There were moments that I enjoyed and there's some beautiful visuals and the acting's great and some of the direction for the most part is really good. Like a lot of the world building they do, it's okay. Actually, I was going to say it was really good, but actually sometimes it's not.
Yeah, it's interesting because I remember when I was watching the trailers, I was like, you know, if this is fine, but once they go into the really big stuff, like this will be really cool. And then watching the movie, it's like, oh no, this was everything's in the trailer. Like there's not another hidden weird world that you're not seeing or something. Because I think the ones that stick the most with me growing up were stuff like Never Ending Story. I talked about this in the review.
You did, but also make sure you check that out. It's over on our YouTube channel.
Where you have like weird creatures and worlds and all that's the stuff that's even when growing older with like Lord of the Rings, like the idea that like there's a whole world of possibilities. Star Wars. You know what I mean? There's a sense, the early Star Wars movies, there's a sense that like there's all these unseen corners that like where your imagination can run wild, and everything in this movie when it comes to the supernatural stuff is kind of barren, which is a little bit disappointing. But The you mentioned the actors are really good and their interactions are really good. The character moments, I think, are really good. And I think the message of the movie is really positive. And I think that's the one really challenging thing about talking about this movie is the goals and the message of the movie are so positive and so needed right now that it's a bummer that you don't enjoy the movie more.
Are you saying you as in me or
universal? You like that people aren't enjoying it more because I think that's maybe part of the feeling people are having, because I think what this movie's talking about is needed right now. You know what I mean? And it's cool to see this cast working together on this story. And from what I understand, I went back and looked at some of the stuff in the book. It's actually pretty close to the book, so I don't know if maybe some of the challenges this movie faced is that if you just literally translate what's in the book, it's not as cinematic.
It's not. And there's a lot of it's weird. There's a lot of world building in terms of just like verbiage, like stuff that happens. And sometimes in movies, it really works really well when you have time to kind of like sit in it. But because this movie is like they're trying to fit, I'm guessing, the whole first book into 2 hours.
I think it was even a little less than 2 hours.
Yeah. They're like, it's like a bullet. Like, it's not like a train. It's so fast, like going through all these different worlds. You don't have any time to like really sit in anything. There's small character moments, like with Zach Galifianakis and Storm Reid. Megan Happy Medium. When they're talking, that's really good. And like sometimes when Oprah's just there, it's nice. It's like it's cool to see Oprah, and she's
got such a tremendous presence.
Yes, and they play into that and make her enormous. Like that's the whole thing. She in this movie, she's great. But I don't have any time to connect with anything happening besides part of the message about basically who you are is good. Yeah. Who you are is good, and because deep down maybe you're not like a shining beacon of happiness all the time doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means that like the faults that we all have make us special as long as we try to be good people.
Yeah, don't give into your negative self. I will get into more spoilers. I like the way an issue I have with this movie, and I don't think I did a very good job describing in my review, is that everything, like there's not like there was an interview with one of the Pixar heads. I can't remember what they talked about, who it was, but they talked about, you know, you give your audience 2 plus 2 and let them come up with 4. Mm-hmm. Like everything in this movie is just 4. Like the happy medium is the literal personification of balance. Mm. You know what I mean? Everything is like the evil is negative feelings personified. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of like discovery, like, oh, this represents this. It's like, no, its name is that. Like, it's, you know what I mean? I don't think I'm doing a good job explaining how literal everything is. Mm-hmm. And that left me a little bit cold because there's not a sense of discovery. Mm-hmm. But I do like, there's a scene that where they depict the effect the darkness has on people that is very personal. And a lot of times when you literally personify evil, it's super abstract, why you want to stop them. This does a good job of grounding it into day-to-day little pettiness that people have.
Yeah, and I did like that I liked how the villain, what it turned out to actually be, what this, this negative force, what it actually was deep down. And when it does boil down to like small moments where like it grows negativity in day-to-day life, and that's where it comes from. But I did want to read actually a review from Maggie Whitmer in our comments. She's watching live. She's a big supporter of us. I thought it was visually stunning. The actors did a phenomenal job. I think my favorite part were the costumes and the makeup for the misses. The misses' costumes were amazing. The visuals of this movie, when it comes to that, were really cool. Salma... Ishaq, I apologize if I said your last name incorrectly, but they said, I love the fact that Ava DuVernay said she swung for the fences, and if it didn't work out, she doesn't regret it. I love that kind of filmmaker, and that is very cool. Also, Maggie wrote, the monologue about the It made me tear up, and I really enjoyed the message behind the movie, which I do...
Yeah, I agree with that a lot.
And I do like that, and I think the problem I have with it, mm-hmm. is that it's for a younger audience, and we've gotten a little used to it. It's kind of a similar thing. I kind of have a problem with Illumination animation movies, which are like...
Have you seen the new Grinch thing. I didn't even watch the trailer. I just saw stills from the new Illumination. Yeah, they're animating. It looks great. It looks really if the cute. Movie looks good, but the animation looks amazing.
Yeah, it's like it's the Minions in the Despicable Me and Secret Life of Pets, that kind of stuff. The humor isn't for it. There's no nuance to it. It's not made for an older audience. It also works for a younger audience, so it gets a bigger audience.
Yeah.
It's just for kids. Yeah. And this movie is just for a specific audience, it feels like. And while it felt advertised for everybody, it wasn't, and that's why I think I feel let down, I guess, is the best way I can put it. The movie, though, it might just not be for me. And
yeah, I mean, that's true of a lot of movies. Like Mother just wasn't for you, you know what I mean? Mother was actually not. Mother was significantly more challenging than A Wrinkle in Time is, so that movie's not for a lot of people. But this it's interesting because it does felt like for a younger audience, but I don't know if it ever, again, it doesn't have that like whimsy or wonder that I think younger audiences could connect to. I think it needed more scenes, like this is in the trailers, like with the leaf lady,
mm-hmm.
more of that.
Yeah.
For if I was younger, for me to be like, oh, cool. Cause you want to make worlds that you want to visit. Like mm-hmm. that's like almost 75-80% of the sell for me for stuff like Moana mm-hmm. is I want to go there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was another Coco. I want to go there. I want that to be a ride. I want that to be a place that I can go to. This one was like, oh, look at these worlds. Like, man, you can keep that.
Yeah.
I don't need to visit that.
Yeah. And but also, I know this movie means more outside of just a review of how the movie turned out for an audience. It means a lot for like the cast and culturally what it means to have a young black girl who like has her curls, and they even bring that up in the movie of like what she's embarrassed by who she is and how that celebrate who you are and be proud of who you are. And that message does come across, and I just want to make sure that I make it clear that I understand that. I think they did a good job with that.
Yes,
there is just the nuts and bolts of how this machine got put together that aren't great. It says it like some stuff just doesn't make any sense. I kind of want to move into spoilers if that's cool.
Yeah, before we jump into spoilers, let's do one last dip into the sponsor pool.
Let's say hi to some friends, our new friends.
Ooh.
Over at True Religion. Because do you guys have a hard time finding the perfect fitting jeans that are also comfortable? Because it's impossible.
I was gonna say, how did you know?
It's impossible.
Yeah.
I have like three pairs. If I'm lucky, I have like two pairs of jeans that I just pray stay together.
Exactly.
But let me tell you a little bit about True Religion. But why True Religion, you may ask? You're sitting there, you listen to us, you're like, why are you talking about True Religion? Because True Religion just sent us the best dang pair of jeans.
Yes.
I've ever owned. I'm going to be honest. Super comfortable. I brought them on our trip to Emerald City Comic Con. Yeah, man.
Not only did you look good, you were feeling good, too.
I mean, I don't know how you could tell when you looked at me, but I had a swing in my step. I had a little hop skip. I was feeling good.
True Religion believes that no matter your body type or your style, there's a true fit for you. There's the Jenny, the Haley, the Billy, skinny, high-rise, bootcut, straight, and retro-inspired, wide leg. There's something for everybody.
And they don't offer just jeans. They got so much. They got t-shirts, dresses, jackets, and the fit is their focus. I gotta point this out, because they're the most comfortable, and I'm gonna be honest, flattering jeans. I've been going through a long phase of skinny jeans. It's good to get a nice, relaxed fit. I'm like, oh, I can do where are all these activities that's I wasn't why, able to do
is
before?
That way you wouldn't stop doing the splits.
I kept doing the splits. Wait, you're going up the escalator? I'm doing splits. Excuse me.
Are you ready to get the perfect fitting, most comfortable, most flattering pair of jeans that you have ever owned? Right now, True Religion is giving our listeners 20% off your entire purchase when you use our code STUPID at checkout. So do what we did and go to TrueReligion.com and enter our code STUPID for 20% off your entire order.
Don't be dumb. Get good jeans. Back to the show. All right, let's give a quick rating. We can go into spoilers. I did want to point out that Maggie Whitmer said I would give this movie about an A- or B+. So you really enjoyed it.
Cool. Very good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that.
But for me, I can't really think of a fun rating right now unless you got
one. We did six.
For the three misses.
Yeah, three kids. Yeah.
And also somebody wrote this like post that was funny. They're like, I really enjoyed the show, but I don't understand grading systems because I think they're from New Zealand. And it's not in the 10% of how grades work. Like an A is in the 90s, B's in the 80s, C's in the 70s. Theirs is like more spread out. And I'm like, actually, theirs makes a little bit more sense. Mm. But for us, I'd probably give it a... I don't want to be mean to the movie. I'm not trying to be, but I think it's like a C-. Like, I don't...
For you?
Yeah, for me.
For me, it's like a C+, B-, which I think we determined was like a 4.5 maybe?
Yeah, mine's like a 3... point something. Three point nine.
Like that. I give it a C minus because I did enjoy it. I did like some of the ideas, the performances, especially the misses and Zach Galifianakis and Chris Pine. Man, Chris Pine is just killing it right now. He's becoming one of my favorite actors in Hollywood.
Wait, you described it in like the pool of
white boy Chris's. Yes, yeah, because it's like him and Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth and Chris Pratt and all those white boy Chris's. He was just in that rabble, and then slowly he's just become like, he's just killing it, man. He's gone to another level, and he's so good in this. But Oprah is such a great presence. Mindy Kaling, Reese Witherspoon, Zach Galifianakis, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, Storm Reid's great. Charles Wallace, the kid that plays Charles Wallace, he's really good. Mm. Then there's the friend who's just kind of there. He just fills the love interest role that he's supposed to say.
Talk about him.
He just says nice things about the protagonist and looks pretty. Like, that's his whole job. Mm-hmm. Michael Pena's great. He's not in it a lot, but he's great. That stuff and the cool. They didn't do a lot of like the whimsical fantasy stuff, but they invested a lot in the trippy kind of like psychedelic imagery that I thought was really cool. One of my favorite bits is when she's trying to find a way into a room and the stairs and everything are show up as like blueprints and stuff like that.
Oh, that's really, right. It's like, yeah, things are folded in.
That. The room that her dad's held in was really visually cool. And then the one time we see her tesser is really magical. So all that stuff made me enjoy the movie, even though I wish there was a little bit more. I don't know. I wish there was a little bit more of that magic, a little bit more of that. Like, I wish all of the misses had kind of a more supernatural form that all looked different. Maybe Zach Galifianakis looked more supernatural. I feel like that's the stuff that would have stuck with me more if I was a kid.
Maybe if the movie was a little longer, but yeah. I felt like there just needed to be a little bit more room to breathe, a little bit more time, like kind of now moving into spoilers. Like the movie starts out, you meet Mrs. What's It and Mrs. Who, like right in the beginning, and you're like, what's happening? Because I know they're going to be, you already know from the trailer and based on what they look like, they're going to be important later on.
Yeah.
I didn't think they needed to be there. They got an intro early and you got an idea like, oh, there's something else happening out in the universe like that we don't know about, we're going to be introduced to. Their introduction to me made no sense. I was like, I didn't get what was happening. I didn't understand their importance. I don't know. And I like the idea of Charles Wallace, like this younger kid, like being in tune with it. That's a really, that's a fun idea. But the way it played out for me, I didn't enjoy. I was just like, what's happening? I don't know what's happening. And specifically, I kept saying what's happening to the friend that was there. Barely call him a friend. Yeah. He's not a friend. He literally showed up and he's like, I don't know why I'm going to be here. And in my head, his reasoning for anything is it's basically like, what are you doing here? Why are you on this adventure?
He's good at diplomacy.
They
said that.
They said it. But when did it happen?
Good point.
When did that? That was never shown. He could have been there for diplomacy. Maybe near the end when we get to the finale, but then it becomes like, if I even saying that felt like he's a white knight that's gonna like solve the problem between these two siblings, and it's like, you don't need that.
Yeah.
So why is he here? Like, and like, I'm sure the book there's more to him, and him being maybe he could be diplomacy between Happy Medium and them, or maybe he between Red and Meg. Like, he didn't do anything in the entire movie.
Yeah.
And while we did get a lot of cool stuff, it kept rushing through it, and I just like, and some of the visuals, it was such a ballsy thing, and I thought going into this movie, I was going to be getting like Annihilation, but for kids, like not in the fucked up thing, but in the crazy ideas it brought up.
Yeah.
But for kids, it's like, no, maybe the universe is bigger than you think. It's bigger and more crazy than you could imagine. While that was shown, it almost kind of made it boring that like it was happening. It was like, oh, this is what it is.
Yeah.
And we don't need to talk about more. It's just that's what it is.
Yeah.
But I did like the idea that the main malignant thing out there is a brain, because your own worst enemy is yourself. And like that's the negative things that come out in your life, and the way the negative things you can put onto other people come from your brain. It's come from your attitude, your personality. That's really cool. And they do a great job of showing her better self, like her, like, because she's got straight hair.
The way she perceives.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm doing air quotes. Listen.
Yeah.
Those are air quotes. But of who she, what the better version of who she thinks she could be. But it's not. And like, I like that idea that that's the worst enemy. That's the stuff that you can bring up and make your life
when they show like what its effect on people, it's all their like selfishness and greed and pettiness that like, and anger. And like you said, stuff from the inside, which I think is really interesting. And I liked, you know, I don't know, the Happy Medium is clearly there to teach her balance, but I don't know if we learn much from that.
It was just a sweet... I think Zach Galifianakis did a really sweet moment with Storm Reid. It was just to, like, really just kind of, like, it grounded everything for a second.
Yeah.
And then we move forward. And but, like, you talked about in your review that, like, when we went to Worlds... They're not worlds. They're places where this one thing lives, and then you move on. Like,
yeah, even in the flower world, we get the more stuff like the flowers that speak through color. Fun.
That
great.
Was really cool.
And then we see a brief look at, like, these giant botanical fuzzball things that live on another world.
Yeah.
Which I think is from the book. But it's like, have them on the balance world just to make it look like a world where things live and things are happening.
Yeah. But again, budgetary things, the movie's moving fast, maybe you don't have time for that kind of stuff. I get it. I think my main thing came back to it didn't, like you brought up Whimsical, it just didn't feel special enough. It didn't feel like there's a great message in there and it's almost perfect. It's almost there. It's like it's so close, and that's okay. That's okay that, but at the end of the day, it's okay that it didn't work totally for me, right? Yeah. Like this is meant to inspire younger generations, specifically like people of color. It's like, you can feel okay with who you are. It's okay where you come from or who you are or what you look like. You can live a happy life if you let yourself. And that's beautiful. That's really sweet. It just sometimes the movie gets bogged down with trying to do the bigger things and trying to get this and trying to add these things and this things and this thing. And just like sometimes you can balance, sometimes you can nail and sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
And that's a bummer. So I think that the best way I could say it, whatever you.
I agree with you completely. And we would like to know more about what you guys think if you do go see it. Let us know. This episode's going to be everywhere on pretty much every listening platform. And but you can, it's also going to be up on Patreon, and you can leave a comment there, and we might read it in a following episode.
Mm-hmm.
And you can follow us on Twitter at Only Stupid Answers.
Yank out the vowels from stupid.
But really quick, as we're wrapping stuff up, we would like to do a new... We're trying something new out.
Yeah.
All right?
We came up with the idea in Emerald City. You're at Emerald City, and I'm pretty excited for it. It's a new segment.
Yeah.
What's the title?
Just the Tips.
Just the Tips.
We just want to give you little life tips that we've picked up and see if they help you guys out. This is one that I got from my wife.
Here we go.
That she picked up from a friend at work. You know, when you put moisturizer on your hand, Sam, it makes your hand kind of like, there's a lot of like residue on your hand. So it makes, you know, it's just not ideal. It makes your hands kind of greasy. You know what I mean? So instead of putting on the palm of the hand, you put the moisturizer on the back of your hand and start rubbing from the back. I'm doing a visual that Sam's seeing where you rub the back of your hands together.
Wait, put it up near the mic. They can see it. There it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So you rub the backs of your hands together. You get the moisturizer in the back where it kind of needs it most, and then you move to the front. So there's a little less on the front. Your palms absorb less of the moisturizer, less grease on the palm. That's my tip for this week.
Hey, and here's a tip from old Sam. This is actually going to piggyback off of moisturizer, guys. We don't take care of our skin enough, you know? You gotta take care of your skin. Go invest in a good face moisturizer and take care of yourself. Every guy out there wants to look good.
Yeah.
Do a little bit of that. Just take care of yourself.
There it is.
There's a little tip. Just
the tips.
No more, no less.
Yeah.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was a meaty one. We've been gone for a while. We need to cover a lot. Thank you to everyone we met at Emerald City Comic Con. Thank you to everyone who listens. And thank you to all of our patrons. You guys make this possible for
literally,
us.
You literally make this possible.
You keep it going. Yeah. And we appreciate you guys. DJ Plugs.
Yeah, so you can follow me at DJ Talks Trash, every place that matters. But please, 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 please go to ChaosTheoryComic.com and follow the newsletter there. This is a really big project for me, and it's only going to happen with the support of you guys. And you guys have been so supportive and so amazing, and I really appreciate it. Sam, what about you?
At Sam Basher, everywhere that matters, I do MCU recap Easter egg breakdowns over on New Rockstar, so go give those watches. They've been doing well. They did one for Thor The Dark World, which is shockingly not doing as well as the rest.
What?
They don't want to know more about it? There was actually a lot of interesting stuff in that trailer, so I recommend checking it out. But I think that is it. We are working on some new projects, which is
stay tuned.
We're constantly working on new stuff, but this might involve some friends.
Yeah,
that's about as much as I can say and tease right now. So make sure you are part of our newsletter at onlystupidanswers.com. Go throw your email in there. I'm gonna probably start sending out those like every couple weeks. Don't wanna flood your inbox. Don't want you getting spam. But make sure you're part of that so that you can stay up to date. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Only Stupid Answers. You can look it all up. Also, make sure you rate and review on iTunes and write reviews on our Patreon post. Yeah. Appreciate it.
And again, if you want to find all that stuff, our merch, everything, and more, go to onlystupidanswers.com. Thank you for joining us this week, and we will see you at the same bat time, same bat channel.
Bye-bye.